Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, we have had a lot of meat this morning. You ought to be strong. You ought to be feeling powered up. Not sounding like you're half asleep. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's do it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My goodness. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the second epistle of Peter. And I am going to be ministering to you out of that first chapter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, we are taking away your excuse to sin. Did you hear me? I don't think you really heard me. We are taking away your excuse to sin. A doctrine in the church that says once saved, always saved. Has anybody ever heard of this doctrine? Can I see your hands if you've heard it? Praise the Lord. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. In fact, they tell you sometimes that if you can do anything that you want to do in sin, and if you have ever accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, that your sin will be excused. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. Hello? The Bible says that you and I have to work out our salvation with fear. Hello? Did you hear that? Fear and trembling. So that means that salvation is not a guaranteed thing. Unless you and I meet the requirements that are required of us in obtaining that position of eternal security. You're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to pay attention. Sometimes I come back here in the back row because that's where all the noise is. And I don't want you falling asleep back there. I don't know that anybody's ever really fallen asleep on me. I'm usually too loud. Hallelujah. Is that facing the right way? Is that drawn the right way? Shouldn't it be flipped this way? Huh? Hallelujah. Peter, you know, Peter is always an encouragement to me. I mean, as a man, Peter is always an encouragement to me. Because if you would know about anybody in the Bible who you might have doubts as to their ability to make it, Peter would have been that fellow. Peter was always the first one to speak. He was always the first one to brag. And generally, he was the first one to run. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I can identify with Peter. Hallelujah. But what encourages me about Peter is the change that was worked in his life. Peter went from being a braggart and a bully. Someone who was very submissive and obedient to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And I have always said that if God could do that for Peter, God is certainly able to do that for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's something else here. Sometimes I look at my children, my grown children, and see some of the difficulties and troubles they're in. I can look at my grandchildren and see some of the things that they are dealing with. And sometimes I just want to shake my head. But then I remember how God touched me. And how He changed me. So it can give me hope that God can touch them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes I have to remember where I was, what I was doing, and what I couldn't do as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. And look at where I am now. Hallelujah. And I can have hope that where I am now, and how far it is that I have yet to go, that God will be able to complete the task. Amen. Come on, people. Are you there? Huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have Peter. And he is writing to the church. And he is saying in verse 4, chapter 1 of the second epistle. He says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be the partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you really say amen? Hallelujah. Now this isn't Brother Bert preaching to you, this is Brother Peter. And what he is saying in this verse is not necessarily something that shall be, but it is something that in is actuality that you now possess if you are born again. Hallelujah. To be born again means that you were born out of something into something else. Hallelujah. The trouble is, the something that you were born out of looks you in the mirror every time you get up in the morning. And it wants you to believe that what you see is what you get. Hallelujah. And that isn't what it means to be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are born again, you have a different father. You have a different mother. Therefore, you are of a different family. You were born in the natural. You had a natural father. And you had a natural mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was born in the natural, hallelujah, I have a German heritage and I have an English heritage. Hallelujah. And I have the traits. I was born with the familiar spirits that come with my German heritage and the spirits that come with my English heritage. Hallelujah. But when I was born again, the heritage that I was born with in the natural was canceled out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Hallelujah. I don't know what your heritage is, but whatever it is in the natural arena, it is no longer supposed to have power or authority over you to make you what you would be or what your parents were. Hello? Hallelujah. The trouble is, whether you really believe it or not, or whether you really want it or not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, it's kind of a dreadful, scary thing what God has done to us with regards to Christianity. Because what He has done is that He has given you the power, He has given you the authority to determine. Now, wait a minute, don't clap yet. Given you the power and the authority to determine at the end of the day where it is you're going to be. Did you hear me? You have the power. It's called free will choice. Hallelujah. God will do everything that He can do to save your soul. Did you hear me? God will do everything. God will do anything to try and save your soul. But you have to determine, you have to decide whether you want your soul saved or not. Did you hear me? You make the decision. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, we are making the way a little more difficult for you. Because we are telling you that sin is no longer allowable. That sin is no longer an acceptable thing. Hallelujah. That means you cannot go out here in the world and act like a sinner or go into your homes and act like a sinner and then come to church on Sunday and act like a saint. Did you hear me? You may fool the man sitting in the pew next to you. You may fool the preacher that is preaching to you. You might even be fooling yourself. But there is one person that you are not fooling. That person is Jesus Christ. And it is that person who at the end of the day makes the determination of whether you are in or out. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Is this something that God is giving to you? This is a power. Hallelujah. Now, it's not only something that works in an environment with others, God is not always able to tell what's going on in your environment as far as the world is concerned, but God is able to tell what's going on in here. Did you hear me? In here. So, and in here. Hallelujah. He knows your thoughts. Hallelujah. He knows what you are capable of. He also knows all of the hidden things that you are hiding your soul. Hallelujah. So the gospel that we are preaching is not an external gospel. It is not something you go to your closet and take out and put on when you feel like being Christian. It is something that is continually and constantly with you. But not only is it an observer and an examiner, but it is also a help to change you if that is what you really want. Hallelujah. Change is something that is very necessary for you and I. You know, there is a responsibility that God has. Romans says that creation was subjected to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope. That's Romans, the 8th chapter. Write it down, go home, check me out. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. That means that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God knew what Adam was going to do as well as what Eve was going to do. And God let them do it because God had a plan. God had a purpose. And the purpose in the plan of God was that man would come over the 6,000 years. Into the 7,000 year to finish the thing that he started in Genesis 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you and I are living in the hour, living in the day of the completion of that project. Hallelujah. It is a time and a place for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8 says that the creation groaneth. Prevails even unto now. For what? For everybody to be raptured? Huh? What are they groaning and travailing for? It says in the Bible that they are groaning and travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's you. That don't excite you, right? You're a candidate. This little guy, he's a candidate. Hallelujah, you're a candidate. There's an opportunity that God is giving you. There's a place, there's a high realm in the spirit that God wants you to ask Him for. And you cannot ask God something when you ask God something that is His will, God will give it to you. And God wants you to come up higher. He wants you to overcome sin. No, He's all right. Just leave Him alone. Hallelujah. He wants you to overcome sin. Hallelujah. And you have the power in Jesus Christ to do it. It's your decision. Hallelujah. We have that position. We have that place. We have that right. The tabernacle of God. We've gone over it many times. But even in the going over it over and over again, hallelujah, there is always something new that we can find in God. Hallelujah. The brazen altar, the brazen laver, the golden candlestick, the table of showbread, and finally the golden altar of incense. Each of those articles, each of those pieces of furniture, hallelujah, they are indicative of a work of God. They are, you could look at them as steps. Huh? Look at them as steps. Look at them as steps. Hallelujah. You start down here at hell, and you wind up here in heaven. Hallelujah. You have the golden, you got the brazen altar, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A lot of churches preach crucifixion. There are many churches that preach resurrection. But the resurrection they preach is down the road. Did you hear me? It's down the road when Jesus comes. It's down the road when you die and then Jesus comes and He resurrects you from the grave. I believe that Jesus is coming. I believe that there's going to be a resurrection. But I also believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the now. Hallelujah. Not down the road.
Amen.
Not down the road.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not at the end of the day when I die and I have to be resurrected out of the dirt. There was a word that Jesus spoke to Mary and to Martha. Hallelujah. Lazarus had died. And Jesus had deliberately waited till he died. Have you ever wondered why Jesus doesn't answer sometimes in your timing? I have news for you, Jesus is never late. Because there's something that Jesus wants to have done in your life during the time of your affliction. Brother Nark tells us often about some of the experiences that he has been in. As trying as they may be, and as long as they may seem. I am sure that he would give you the testimony that Jesus never came late.
Hallelujah.
Jesus may not have shown up when we wanted him to show up. But Jesus is never late. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that tribulation, that trouble has a purpose. Hallelujah. And the purpose of tribulation in trouble is to bring us to a place of complete defeat in God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because when we come to that place, it is then and then only that Jesus can move. And when he moves, it's resurrection. When deliverance comes, it's resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each one of these articles of furniture in the tabernacle are designed to first bring us into a place of death. Into a place of death. Hallelujah. And then bring us into a place of resurrection. Hallelujah. Lazarus had been sick. And he was slowly but surely dying. And Jesus let him die. Because Jesus wanted to demonstrate that even death, death is a feeling of hopelessness. Death is a feeling of despair. Death is something that gives you no reason to think other than bad thoughts, bleak thoughts, depressive thoughts. So death can apply to many different types of situations. Hallelujah. Some of you may be involved in marriages. That seem hopeless. Hallelujah. The response of the people that you are married to is not what it should be. And it may not be something that you enjoy, and it may also be something very painful. Hallelujah. But I can guarantee you, if you will begin to focus your soul and heart upon Jesus, not asking him necessarily to change your situation, but to change you. It's all about you changing. And as God begins to change you, you give him the grounds on which he can begin to change your environment. Hallelujah. Do you know that God is a just God? And you can have two people involved in a situation and in disagreement with each other. And seem right and the other is seemingly wrong. But there could be something inside of you that is, there could be something inside of the person who seemingly is on the right. That is just as wrong in God's sight as the individual that you are dealing with. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Are you understanding it? And you're praying to God to fix the wrong in the other person. Hallelujah. And you thinking that if God fixes the wrong in the other person, then everything will be right. But God really can't fix the wrong in the other person, because something in your heart is just as wrong in God's sight. And if God fixes the wrong in the other person, He vindicates or solidifies your wrongness. So if you want God to change a circumstance or a situation, you have to be sure that you have clean hands and a pure heart. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It says that clean hands in a pure heart, it is an offering that is not despised by God. Hallelujah. So God is wanting to change us. And we are to ascend to climb. I don't know, do you know the expression of climbing Mount Zion? Do you have that expression in the church?
I think they
have.
You do have it, so you understand it. Matthew 24 says that when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, you and I are supposed to flee to the Lord, flee to the mountain. Hallelujah. It's always an ascension. It's always an ascension. An ascension. Hallelujah. Now the church has lied to us, and it has told us that we can circumvent the change. The church has said that you do not have to go through step one, step two, step three, step four, or step five. Hallelujah. All you have to do is get saved. And at some point in time, God will rapture you. He's going to come down and pluck you up and pluck you out of your sin. It's a lie. Did you hear me? It's a lie. It's telling us that we do not have to change. Hallelujah. Change is something that is very necessary for all of us. No matter where you are on the ladder. Do you remember the vision or the experience of Jacob when he was going back to meet with his brother Esau. He separated himself and he had a night of wrestling with God. Hallelujah. And the determination of Jacob was that he would not let loose of God until God touched him, until God changed him. And he wrestled the whole night through. He wrestled until the day began to break. And it was at that time that the word of God came to Jacob and gave him a new name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. What this tells us, Brother John, is that we have to wrestle with God. It's not something we can take and just believe because we have the knowledge of it, that it is something that is going to change us. There was something very peculiar about Jacob's changing. The angel touched his leg.
Hallelujah.
And not only did he change him, but he maimed him. Hallelujah. And you know, it wasn't just a limp that he was limping with. But it was that Jacob was like dragging his leg for the rest of his life. Hallelujah. Jacob wanted change, but the expense of the change came at the expense of his flesh. Hallelujah. It's one thing to say you want change. It is another thing to wrestle with God. And to wrestle with Him with such tenacity and determination that in the wrestling, God touches you in some physical, natural way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I suppose that Jacob probably could have complained about the feeling of his leg or the lack of its use. But somehow I do not believe that was the circumstances. Hallelujah. We're talking about the exceedingly great and precious promises that God has given to you and I as a church. Hallelujah. There has always been something called the church. What the world has never seen and has yet to see, as far as God is concerned, is the thing called body of Christ. There has not yet been a manifestation of that function or that fullness that the Bible calls the body of Christ. The body of Christ works like your body in harmony with the head. But the head is essential for the body to live. Hallelujah. The trouble is, hallelujah, We think that church is body. We think that doctrine is body. But these things aren't body. They are instructions. They are a means by which we achieve to the place or to the level by which we might enter in and be a part of the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is bringing us to an understanding that church as we know it in this realm of holy place and the realm of the outer court was something that was good, something that was necessary, but it will not suffice or do the job that needs to be done if we stay in that realm. Hallelujah. The outer court, which is indicative of the organized church system, the Bible says that it will be given to the Gentiles to trample underfoot. That means it will be defiled. In my estimation, that has already happened. The church is structured after the world government. They have their president, they have their board of directors, they have their regional directors, and they have their local directors, which they call pastors. Hallelujah. It's already underfoot and being trampled. But brethren, we can point a finger at them and tell them how bad they are. But the danger to the Sons of God candidates is not the outer court church. It's not even the devil out here in the world. The danger to the end time church is the abomination of desolation that will stand up in the holy place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it will come from within. Did you hear me? It will come from within. And I don't mean just within with regards to people, as well as that may be true. But I mean within here. Jeremiah says that the heart is desperately wicked. Hallelujah. And your danger does not lie in the realm of sin. Your danger lies within the realm of religion. Hello? Your deception lies within the realm of the church. Hallelujah. Every church that has come on the scene historically, they have all developed lies and deception to keep you and I from climbing higher into God. Hallelujah. This says that the devil will not come to you as a devil. I hope you know your Bible. I hope you check me out. Hallelujah. It doesn't say that the devil is going to come to you as a devil. The devil is not going to come to you on the basis of sin. Well, maybe some of us. I don't know about all of us. Hallelujah. Not going to come to us, but he's going to come to us as an angel of light. Did you hear me? Now, I don't know what you think about what kind of being would be a being that is called an angel of light. Huh? It's going to be somebody who says that they know God. It's going to be somebody who says that they love God. It's going to be somebody who has some sort of doctrine that sounds like God. Hallelujah. And the only thing that is going to keep you from being deceived is if you know God. If you're depending upon a pastor, if you're depending on a teacher, if you're depending upon a prophet, if you're depending upon an apostle, hallelujah, to keep you from going into deception, you are depending upon the wrong thing. Hallelujah. It is absolutely necessary for you and I to know God. So that when we see or hear God out here, hallelujah, we hear God in here. And it equates to God in here. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. There are three witnesses in the earth that talk about and verify the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's the water, it's the blood, and it's the Spirit, isn't it? Hallelujah. You can check me out, Brother George. Hallelujah. Those are three witnesses. And those witnesses have to be inside of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. It's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those things will testify to the reality of God that you hear, that you see, and that you read. Hallelujah. And they will verify the word that is being brought to you as being the word of God. Hallelujah. Paul said it this way. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I live. But yet it is not I that liveth, but Christ in me. And so should it be for you and I. That position, that place of experience, that revelation of God that brings with it the necessary change to qualify for what it is that God wants to give us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I believe it's in one of the Gospels of John, the little Gospel, and it says that any spirit that denies that Christ came in the flesh, First John 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of an antichrist, whereof ye even now already is it in the world. Brother John. The meaning of that verse, I'm going to try to give you kind of a breakdown of it. It is not just that Jesus came in the natural as a natural man. That he lived in a place called Israel 2,000 years ago. That he was the Son of God, that he was crucified, and that he resurrected. All of that is necessary, and you have to believe that. But Jesus Christ came for a reason. Jesus Christ came for a particular purpose. He came to demonstrate a principle and a desire that was in the heart of God. He did not come just to save people from sin. And the purpose for which he came is all part of what this verse is talking about. So if you begin to demonstrate or you begin to believe that it is not possible for God to do with you what he wants to do, you are denying that presence of God. Not only are you denying the presence of God and denying the fact of why and what it was he came to do, but you are submitting yourself to what the Bible calls an antichrist spirit. We have two destinies. Two goals, two places, two goals to achieve. Hallelujah. And there's only two. There's no in between. There's no amendment A, B, or C. There's just heaven, and there's just hell. Hallelujah. And everything that you do, whether it is plus or minus, works to bring you into conformity to these two destinies. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ came to give you the power, the authority, to overcome the destiny of the son of perdition. Hallelujah. That is the power that you have. It's not a matter of just being saved. And joining a church has nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Most people in the church system, now I said most people, I didn't say all people, but most people in the church system who have been baptized, they were not baptized, as it were, into God as much as they were baptized, as it were, into a church. If you were baptized to become a member of a church, you need to be re-baptized. It says that if I am baptized into God, then I am baptized into His death. I am buried with Him in baptism. Buried. You don't bury a live body. The body you bury is supposed to be dead. The problem with our understanding of baptism is that when we are buried with Him in death, we just pick Him up and resurrect Him again. And we don't act like we are dead to sin. Hallelujah. You have power over sin. You have power over the evilness that is out there in your environment. All of the witchcraft, all of the things that are going on in your home environment, you have power to overturn it. You have a power to destroy it. But the way that you begin that destruction is to begin to allow it to be destroyed in here. Hallelujah. You know, we ran into a problem in Nigeria. There is a certain way of thinking that if a woman reaches a certain age and she is not married, it's a shame for her and her family. And so, a lot of times, what the Christians were doing, they were going to their witch doctors. They were going to their little divining people. And getting their little portions and potions. Making little bitty offerings here and there. For the sake of obtaining a husband. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it familiar? Do they do such things here? Oh, yes. They do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to be going to a witch doctor or a devil to obtain a husband or a wife. You're not supposed to be doing that. That is not something you do. Hallelujah. What you do is you go to God. And you ask God for a God-fearing, God-loving, and a husband or a wife that will love God more than you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a daughter. Really, she's a daughter-in-law, but I don't consider them daughters-in-law. I consider them daughters-in-love. Hallelujah. And they are just as much my daughter in the spirit as they might be in natural belonging to somebody else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I have a daughter, and she, as a young lady of 16 years old, she was praying for a husband. And she wanted a God-fearing husband. She wanted a husband that would love the Lord. Hallelujah. And she was 16. And there was a lot of pressure on her from her friends to start dating. Start looking around. Start examining and say, oh, maybe that one over there. Maybe that one over there. Huh? Hallelujah. And she was getting somewhat discouraged. And one day, as I was traveling around the United States, I happened to go to the fellowship that she belonged to. Now, I did not know where she was or what she was doing. I did not know what her circumstances were. But then, during the meeting, as I was ministering, the Lord gave me a prophecy for her. And I walked over to her and I laid hands on her. And I began to prophesy to her. And I prophesied that God had a husband for her. And that God had heard the cry of her heart. Hallelujah. And that God was working in the situation. Not only that, but when I was prophesying to her, I had a vision. And I saw many children around her feet. And I said to her, I see many children. And I said, they are all your children. Hallelujah. up my Bible, got in my car, and left. Hallelujah. Little did I know that the man that God was working on was my son. And I want to tell you something. If they would have come to me concerning my son at that time, I would say, forget it. He's not what you want. Long hair, baggy pants, skateboarding, all the things that I was against. Hallelujah. But it was not, it was what, 2 years, 3 years down the road that God brought them together and they got married. Hallelujah. And this right here and that one right there is a product of it. I'm bringing my evidence with me. And they've got six. How many at home?
Seven total.
So I got five at home. And one more on the way. Hallelujah. So God is able to work a change. Hallelujah. All you have to do is to believe. God is able to do something for you. I want to tell you something. There was a woman that I knew, and she was a Christian, and her husband was not a Christian, and she was praying that her husband would get saved. She thought that the saving of her husband would serve and solve all of her problems. So she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? The man got saved. Not only did the man got saved, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only did he get filled with the Holy Spirit, but he got on fire for God. Hallelujah. And she was breathing a big sigh of relief. But a little bit down the road, she began to think that he was a little bit too hot. A little bit too much for God. He wanted them to spend all of their time working with and for God. He wanted to take all of his money and give it to God. Hallelujah. And she found out that he wasn't her problem. She was the problem. Hallelujah. And his getting saved created a major problem for her. Hallelujah. So it's not the circumstances changing that's going to make a difference. You and I have to change. And the change is built into the Word of God. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ has the authority to change you. Hallelujah. This young man got up and began to exhort you on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood has the ability to deliver you. The blood has the ability to save you. And the blood of Jesus Christ has the ability to change you. Hallelujah. But you and I have to renounce. You have to renounce the sin or the wickedness of darkness that comes to us because of our inheritance. We have to make a declaration that we will no longer serve a pagan god. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They have another custom. Hallelujah. In Africa. And it's called a dowry. It's where the husband has to buy the wife. There is a requirement that the husband bring whatever it is that the family demands in order for them to give the woman to marry the man. Hallelujah. And as we begin to teach the people the Word of God, the Word of God would begin to convict them of their position of submission to this practice. Hallelujah. And if you wanted to not do it, it meant war. Hallelujah. But as the different ones begin to submit to the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. We brought a book with us. I think I give some to Sister Melinda. It's called Tradition or Priesthood. It's written by a man called Chijoki Nawachi. When we met him, he was a young man. He was just going into university. And he is one of those that we taught and brought up. He's now very much grown. He is a doctor in the realm of hematology, which is blood work. Hallelujah. But more important than that is his position of authority and knowledge in the realm of God and spirits. Hallelujah. And he is a testimony to the power of God to liberate and to free people from that position of spiritual bondage. You know, I do not think that I'm just telling you stories. I think that these are things that you know. I think that you know people that are involved in them. And it may be that you yourself have to deal with some of these issues. But what I am putting into your hand is a key by which you might unlock the cage of your bondage. But it's up to you to unlock it. It's up to you to deal with the issue. You have to want it, and you have to then be willing to pay the price to do it. But you have to have a realization revelation that the God that you serve is better than the gods that are all around you. And that comes via personal relationship. Are you still there?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You're going to walk out that door, and every devil in hell is going to try to steal from you what has been given to you while you have been here. Hallelujah. This is not just another meeting, brethren. This is not just some more preachers preaching. What we are bringing to you has the ability to destroy hell all around you. It has the ability to tear down. It has the ability to tear down the thrones of princes that have ruled this land without mercy. This land has had a lot of blood shed on it. A lot of blood has been given. And the blood was given to satisfy the thirst of hell. Hallelujah. But God is calling you as a people. Because there is a proclamation in the heavenlies that says the time has come when enough is enough. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? The time has come that enough is enough. And the Lord is now beginning to mobilize His army, His people, for the purpose of bringing down these kingdoms. It's not something that I can do and come in here and work some sort of miracle. It is something that you, as a people, have to stand up in the midst of it and begin to declare the position of liberty that is given to you in the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's up to you. I hope that you make the right decision. If you do not make the right decision, God will raise up another people. Did you hear me? God will raise up another people. If you will not do it, if you do not want to do it, God will choose another people. God bless you.
Amen. We just want to share this song with you, brethren.